Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's Senate Rules Change press call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode, and later on you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one on your touch-tone phone. Please note that today's call may be recorded, and I will be standing by should you need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Shin Inoue. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this press briefing call on Senate Majority Leader McConnell's brazen partisan power grab on judicial nominees. My name is Shin Inoue. I'm the Director of Communications at the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights. On this call, we have experts who will emphasize the importance of maintaining the integrity and impartiality of our federal courts and highlight several district court nominees who would be WESDU should this change go into effect. Obviously, we'll open it up for questions at the end of their remarks. And on this call, we have joining us Christine Lucius, Executive Vice President of Policy at the Leadership Conference, who will discuss the proposed changes. Janae Nelson, Associate Director Counsel of the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund, who will discuss Thomas Farr, the failed nominee for the Eastern District of Texas. Marge Baker, Executive Vice President, People for the American Way, who will discuss Michael Troncale, nominee for the Eastern District of Texas. Sharon McGowan, Chief Strategy Officer and Legal Director of Lambda Legal, who will discuss Howard Nielsen, the nominee for the District of Utah. Harper Jean Tobin, Director of Policy, the National Center for Transgender Equality, who will discuss Matthew Kaczmarek, the nominee for the Northern District of Texas. Cecilia Thomas, Legislative Manager of Planned Parenthood Federation of America, who will discuss Wendy Vitter, the nominee for the Eastern District of Louisiana. And Dan Goldberg, who is the legal director at the Alliance for Justice, who will be discussing Patrick Weirich, the nominee for the Western District of Oklahoma. Now, let me turn the call over to Christine Lucius, Executive Vice President of Policy, the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights.
Good afternoon. The Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights is a coalition of more than 200 organizations working towards an America as good as its ideals. Yesterday, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell sought to convert the world's greatest deliberative body into a production line so they could turn out en masse biased judges to transform the courts. His latest attempt is to limit the time of floor debate for certain nominees, including those to federal district courts and the Court of Federal Claims. Yesterday, his power grab failed, but Mitch McConnell is not done. In the next hour or so, he is expected to break the rules of the Senate to change the rules. If successful, McConnell's plans to conspire with Trump to stack the courts with biased judges will happen at rapid speed. McConnell has already broken Senate precedents to confer more circuit court nominees than any other president at this time in the presidency. And they were confirmed nearly twice as fast as President Obama's judicial nominees. Now he is breaking the rules to speed through district court nominees and Court of Federal Claims nominees. He wants to transform all of our federal courts, and it is alarming. Even before this proposed rule change, Senate Republicans disregarded or violated other longstanding precedents, rules, and norms of the Senate to maximize their ideological takeover of the federal courts. This has long been the aim of the Heritage Foundation, the Federalist Society, and its corporate backers. While the president nominates people to the courts, senators have an independent role under the Constitution to carefully vet and consider those nominees. By rigging the system, Republicans are consolidating their power and directly jeopardizing our civil and human rights. If this rules change were already in effect, we would likely see even more anti-civil rights nominees on the bench, like Thomas Farr, whose nomination failed after troubling records came to light during the post-cloture time this change would affect. The move today that Mitch McConnell is seeking is completely unjustified and hypocritical. For years, Senate Republicans used these very same rules to obstruct countless Obama nominees from confirmation, including Supreme Court nominee Merrick Garland and more than 100 district and circuit court nominees. Now Mitch McConnell will override any institutional norm or rule to stack the courts with right-wing ideologues for his partisan gain. Our civil and human rights are at stake in this fight. Our communities are at risk. Senators must respect the role of the institution and reject Mitch McConnell's ploy to rig the system and transform our federal courts. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine. Now we'll hear from Janae Nelson, Associate Director Counsel of the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund.
Yes, thank you, Shannon. Good afternoon, everyone. I am Janae Nelson, the Associate Director Counsel at the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. We were founded by Thurgood Marshall in 1940, and for 80 years, LDS has pursued a mission of racial justice in education, economic justice, political participation, and criminal justice. And as part of that advocacy, LDF seeks to protect the judiciary's role in enforcing civil rights laws and the Constitution's guarantee of equal protection. As Christine just mentioned, we are witnessing a craven effort begun by Senate Republicans to dramatically shorten the amount of time legislators can debate district court nominees. That effort will harm civil rights and the integrity of our courts for generations. This latest maneuver to subvert democratic processes lays waste to the Senate's constitutional obligation to advise and consent on judicial nominees. This move will also diminish each senator's opportunity to sufficiently vet candidates for lifetime positions on the federal bench. Some of the administration's most egregious picks for the courts have been stopped because of concerns that were unearthed in this critical final debate period, as my colleagues on this call will describe. But perhaps the best example of the vital role that the Senate's full-throttled advise and consent function plays is in the failed nomination of Thomas Farr. Thomas Farr was nominated to serve as a judge in the Eastern District of North Carolina. He began his career in 1979 at the National Right to Vote Foundation, an organization known as a national leader in the effort to destroy public and private sector unions. He then built a legal practice protecting the interests of Republican politicians at the expense of voting rights for people of color. Farr has also dedicated much of his practice to defending corporations accused of unlawful discrimination while failing to demonstrate the commitment to fairness and equity necessary to serve on the bench. Most notably, in 2016, Farr defended what the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals called the most restrictive voting law in North Carolina since the era of Jim Crow. The law reduced early voting, eliminated same-day registration, prohibited counting out-of-precinct votes, and required voters to comply with a strict photo ID requirement. The Fourth Circuit also found that that law passed with the purpose of discriminating against black voters, and in fact, targeted African Americans with almost surgical precision. Farr defended the unconstitutional racial gerrymanders that North Carolina drew for its state legislative districts in 2011, in addition to this egregious law. Again, Mr. Farr lost in court when the district court invalidated 28 districts, a ruling the Supreme Court summarily affirmed. Not only was Farr the go-to lawyer for those wishing to defend North Carolina's voter suppression tactics, but he also participated in a campaign-related scheme to frighten black North Carolinians into not casting a ballot. Farr served as counsel for the Jesse Helms for Senate campaign, which sent more than 100,000 postcards to mostly black voters suggesting that they could be prosecuted for voting in the upcoming midterm election. And during the confirmation process, Farr told the Senate Judiciary Committee that he did not know about the postcards until after they had already been sent. However, in the week before his final Senate vote in November 2018, a 1991 Department of Justice memo surfaced detailing Farr's role in the scheme. The memo from the Bush DOJ described Farr as the primary coordinator of the 1984 ballot security program conducted by the NCGOP and 1984 Helms for Senate Committee, and that he coordinated several ballot security measures in 1984, including a postcard mailing to voters in predominantly black precincts, which was designed to serve as a basis to challenge voters on Election Day. After days of reviewing the memo and speaking with its author, Republican Senator Tim Scott decided to vote against Farr's confirmation. He was joined by Republican Senators Flake, Rubio, and others in rejecting the nomination. Now, while we wish that Farr's clear record of animus toward the civil rights of people of color would have been enough to disqualify him, it was ultimately this damning memo that convinced a majority of senators of his lack of fitness. The final vetting activities related to Farr occurred during the crucial time period that would be eliminated by the proposed rule change Republicans seek to ram forward. If the rule change up for vote today had been in place last November, Thomas Farr's dishonest answer regarding his involvement in the voter suppression scheme would not have been revealed, and we would likely now have a person in a lifetime position whose answers during the nomination process render him unqualified. That we narrowly avoided such a disastrous lifetime confirmation underscores the need for caution. All nominees for these lifetime positions deserve thorough and complete vetting. This is particularly important given this administration's continuous nomination of persons who lack trial experience, a commitment to civil rights, and fidelity to the rule of law. The Legal Defense Fund strongly opposes this effort by Senate Republicans to effectively obliterate their constitutional obligation to advise and consent on judicial nominees, and we urge them not to move forward with this gross abuse of power. Thank you.
Thank you, Janae. Next, we'll hear from Marge Baker, Executive Vice President, People for the American Way.
Thanks, Shin. This is Marge Baker, Executive Vice President of People for the American Way, an organization now numbering 1.5 million members nationwide that was founded nearly 40 years ago to protect our constitutional rights and liberties under attack from the right wing. At the outset, I want to be clear. What we're talking about here is a naked power grab by Mitch McConnell because, he claims, Democrats are obstructing nominations. But let's not kid ourselves. No one in the universe has less standing than Mitch McConnell to complain about obstructing judicial nominees. But when you look at the facts, we know this isn't about obstruction. This is about McConnell wanting to get as many narrow-minded elitists on the bench as he can before his power trip ends. But just because you can do something doesn't mean that you should or that it's the right thing to do. I'd like to tell you about one of those narrow-minded elitists, Michael Tronchale, nominated for a seat on the Eastern District of Texas. Tronchale wrote that we need in-person voter ID laws because, and I quote, voter fraud makes a mockery of our elections, end quote. But admitted under oath that he had no research or personal experiences to back up that claim. This is a deeply troubling lack of fidelity to fact-finding from someone who is applying for a lifetime job as a trial court judge, someone whose job it is to make findings of fact that are central to the outcome of the cases before him. Additionally, during his hearings, Tronchale refused to say whether Brown v. Board of Education was correctly decided. He showed an alarming lack of knowledge or even concern about implicit bias in the racial justice system. He even seemed to confuse, during questioning from senators, the distinction between implicit bias and explicit racism. He called President Obama an un-American imposter. He said that Texas Democrat Wendy Davis's, and I quote, claim to fame is the fact that she wants to kill babies 5 months into term. His writings show hostility to LGBTQ equality. He slammed efforts to protect transgender individuals under Title IX. He's hostile to immigrant rights. And his anti-government beliefs are extreme. He called for abolishing the Department of Education, slammed the Affordable Care Act, and criticized foundational safety net programs such as Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Our concerns about Tronchale and the other nominees you will hear about on this call are not just hypothetical. Just today, People for the American Way released a lengthy report called Confirmed Judges, Confirmed Fears, which is available on our website, detailing the actual records on the bench of some of the Trump appointees we have been most concerned about who have issued decisions already harming workers, consumers, voters, immigrants, reproductive rights, and many more. So, unfortunately, we have every reason to fear the rush to confirm even more of these narrow-minded elitists. So we join with our allies in absolutely opposing this latest power grab by Mitch McConnell and urge senators to resist. Thank you.
Thank you, Marge. Now we'll hear from Sharon McGowan, the Chief Strategy Officer and Legal Director at Lambda Legal.
Thanks very much, Shin. It's a pleasure to be on a call with so many colleagues in this work. Lambda Legal is the oldest and largest national legal organization dedicated to achieving full recognition of the civil rights of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people and everyone living with HIV through impact litigation, policy advocacy, and public education. And we join this effort because we have grave concerns about what is happening to the federal judiciary under Senator Mitch McConnell's watch. This administration's attempt to pack the federal judiciary with dangerous anti-LGBT ideologues threatens the safety and well-being of LGBT people and everyone living with HIV for generations to come. Howard Nielsen and Matthew Kaczmarek's history of anti-LGBT advocacy should be disqualifying to anyone who cares about the fairness and integrity of the federal judiciary, and yet it appears as though these aspects of their record are precisely what helped secure them these nominations for lifetime appointments to the bench. The lengths to which Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is willing to go in order to confirm extreme judges like these demonstrates just how determined this administration is to undermine the legal rights and protections that the LGBT community has only recently secured. My colleague from the National Center for Transgender Equality will talk next at greater length about Matthew Kaczmarek, a nominee who has dedicated his career to targeting the LGBT community and transgender people in particular. But I'm here today to talk about Howard Nielsen, who has been nominated for the U.S. District Court in Utah. There are over 70,000 LGBT people who live in the state of Utah, and Salt Lake City has the seventh highest percentage of adult LGBT people in the country, even higher than New York City. And yet we know that LGBT people living in Utah have often been the target of discrimination by their own government as well as by private actors in their state. Therefore, it is critical that members of this vulnerable minority, like everyone else, have access to equal justice under the law when they enter the courtroom. Howard Nielsen's record offers no assurance that he will be able to administer fair and impartial justice to LGBT people. Yes, we think that it is highly problematic that Mr. Nielsen led the charge in defending Prop 8, the ballot measure that stripped Californians of their right to marry. But how he conducted himself during that case gives us even greater cause for concern. Almost a year after Chief Judge Vaughn Walker issued his ruling in the Prop 8 case, striking down the ban as unconstitutional, Mr. Nielsen filed a motion claiming that this decision should be vacated, rendered null and void, because Judge Walker, a George H.W. Bush appointee who had been randomly assigned to hear the case, had failed to disclose to the litigants that he was gay. In Mr. Nielsen's view, unless Judge Walker publicly disavowed any interest in marrying his same-sex partner, then he should be disqualified from hearing the case. As California Senator Kamala Harris noted during her questioning of Mr. Nielsen, arguments such as the ones used by Mr. Nielsen against Chief Judge Walker could be used to disqualify female judges from ever hearing a case involving abortion unless they declared that they'd never had an abortion or ever would ever consider having one. The same could be said for cases involving access to contraception. And such arguments were used to try and disqualify black judges like Constance Baker Motley and Leon Higginbotham from hearing race discrimination cases. Some might try to suggest that Mr. Nielsen's attacks on the integrity of Chief Judge Walker demonstrate at best a terrible lapse in judgment, but his actions must be viewed in light of his other history of anti-LGBT advocacy, including highly offensive arguments suggesting that there was no real way to distinguish between those who are LGBT and those who are simply, quote, confused or maladjusted. When Mr. Nielsen's record is viewed as a whole, we believe that no LGBT person could walk into his courtroom with any confidence that they would get a fair shake. A lifetime appointment to the federal bench is a position demanding the utmost public trust. The integrity of the federal judiciary depends on the perception as well as the practice of impartiality. In any other administration, a nominee like Mr. Nielsen would have been rejected at the earliest stages of vetting. And yet we are about to see Senate rules and traditions completely upended yet again to force this highly controversial nomination through, along with a number of others. Protecting the legitimacy of the federal judiciary used to be a bipartisan issue, and it should be. We all want to believe that we are a country where any one of us can experience equal justice under law. We are gratified that greater attention is being paid to the efforts of this administration to lay siege to the federal judiciary far beyond the life of this administration. But the only way in which this abuse of power will end is for the American people to demand better from their elected officials and to demand a federal judiciary worthy of this great nation. And as Christine mentioned, there are a number of nominees who have aspects of their record that have not been revealed or have demonstrated sort of a lack of impartiality. Howard Nielsen is certainly not one of them. His record is out for public view. And the same is true for Matthew Kaczmarek, somebody with a long record of anti-LGBT advocacy. And so with that, I will turn it over to Harper Jean Tobin from National Center for Transgender Equality to talk about that nominee.
Thanks, Sharon. As she noted, next up is Harper Jean Tobin from the National Center for Transgender Equality.
Thanks, Sharon and Chin. This is Ms. Tobin with the National Center for Transgender Equality, which represents and advocates for the nearly 2 million Americans around the country who are transgender. The American people count on our courts to be fair. We count on our judges to be impartial. And unfortunately, our Senate leaders are wrecking those values and traditions we cherish by changing the rules to let them pack the district courts with unprecedented speed and minimal vetting. They're setting up, in effect, a kangaroo confirmation process for lifetime seats. President Trump will serve for a few years, but federal judges sit for 30 or 40. And this president has shown he has no respect for the courts unless they serve his political ends and his bigoted agenda. That's why he nominated Jeff Metier, who famously called transgender children, part of Satan's plan, his words. Senators and the public found that out, and he was withdrawn. But he could be on the bench for life today under these rules changes. Very soon, the Senate will likely vote on a very, very similar nomination. Matthew Kaczmarek has built his entire professional career, not just on taking extreme positions on the civil rights of LGBT people, but on demeaning and mocking LGBT people in the public square, and especially transgender Americans. He has made it his mission to fight against any form of protection from discrimination for LGBT people, no matter how modest. He's fought against basic protections in employment, in housing, in schools, in hospitals, not as a hired gun, but as an advocate. He even opposes protections and services for runaway and homeless youth, even though as many as 40% of those youth are LGBT. He calls any kind of equality protections in state or federal law at all, quote, a bad idea. Mr. Kaczmarek says the movement for equality for LGBT Americans is, quote, typified by lawlessness and calls for a, quote, long war, end quote, against advocates of equality. That doesn't sound like a judicial temperament, and it doesn't sound unbiased. Mr. Kaczmarek says that being transgender is, quote, a delusion, although the nation's leading medical and mental health experts agree that gender identity is an innate part of who we are. Kaczmarek says even recognizing that basic fact is, quote, problematic. He openly mocks transgender people. To name one example, calling our innate identity our, quote, pretend sex. The district courts are where most cases, thousands of cases every year, are decided. They are the first and usually the last stop for those seeking justice in our country. How could any of the 12 million Americans who are LGBT, including the 2 million who are transgender, walk into a Kaczmarek courtroom and believe for a second that they would be treated impartially? Yet if this rule change had been in effect in the last Congress, Metier and Kaczmarek could well both be lifetime judges by now without a full vetting and airing of their records of open bigotry. Rushing nominees like this reflect a bald desperation to fill the courts with unvetted ideologues, with dozens more Metiers and Kaczmareks, regardless of the cost to our democracy. That is not who we are, and that is why the National Center for Transgender Equality joins the civil rights community in strongly opposing these reckless moves to push judges on the court with unprecedented speed and minimal vetting. Senate leaders should be ashamed and should not take this step.
Thank you, Harper Jean. Now we'll hear from Cecilia Thomas, the legislative manager at Planned Parenthood Federation of America.
Hello, my name is Cecilia Thomas, and I'm the legislative manager of Planned Parenthood Action Fund. I review and assess nominees like Wendy Vitter to learn their potential impact on Planned Parenthood's patients. It is my job to make sure nominees like Vitter can't hide their record and their true motives. and Winnie Bitter's record is clear. She has a long history of opposing women's health and rights. This puts her far from the majority of the American people who support health care, birth control, and protecting access to safe, legal abortion. During her hearing in the Senate Judiciary Committee, Bitter tried to hide her beliefs from the senators and from the public. I'm here today because we're not going to let that happen. People deserve the truth. Bitter left out her anti-women's health record from questionnaires required of all nominees in order to review their competency to serve on our courts. She hid documentation of 180 speeches, news articles, and interviews that showcase her political bias and extreme views. She hid that she protested one of our health centers in Louisiana. She hid how she moderated an anti-abortion panel where she endorsed the dangerous and incorrect idea that women who take contraceptive pills are more likely to die violent deaths. Yes, you heard that right. Bitter even lied about birth control. President Trump nominated Bitter to the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Louisiana, where she would have the power to use her lifetime appointment to further her extreme agenda. If the Senate approves this rule change, Bitter's appointment would be forced through despite her alarming record. Trump has already jammed through a record number of judicial nominees, and now they're trying to change the rules to force through even more. The administration is attempting to remake an entire branch of government by filling lifetime judicial appointments with unfit, ideologically driven people. This is part of its broader agenda to restrict and overturn women's health and rights by any means possible. The Senate rule change would clear the way for this agenda and for even more nominees like Wendy Bitter to decide on our health and rights for a lifetime. And we cannot let that happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Cecilia. Last but certainly not least is Dan Goldberg, Legal Director from Alliance for Justice.
Hello, everyone. My name is Daniel Goldberg, Legal Director at AFJ, and thank you so much for having me on this call. For 40 years, Alliance for Justice has fought to ensure a justice system that upholds the rights of all people and is accessible to all, not just the wealthy and the powerful. In those 40 years, we have never seen anything like the assault on our Constitution and important laws from the Trump administration nominees to lifetime seats on the federal bench, and the degradation of the nominations and confirmation process that we have seen during the Trump administration. Our Alliance for Justice report, Trump's attacks on our justice system, President Trump, the federal judiciary, and the 115th Congress issued this morning documents these developments in further detail. But importantly, even before today, Mitch McConnell and the Republican action limit debate time, the Republican majority in the Senate has already degraded rules, norms, and traditions to accelerate confirmation of judicial nominees. And it is outrageous that they are doing so again today. All these changes have been made with one purpose, to confirm as quickly as possible nominees with records of undermining critical constitutional rights and important legal protections, including those involving civil rights, equality for women and LGBTQ Americans, workers, consumers, and protections for clean air and clean water. By severely curtailing the time for the full Senate to consider district court nominees, individuals who will serve for life, and in many cases have the final say on the rights of the American people, today's rule change will only further inhibit the ability of senators, and in many ways, more importantly, the American people, to properly vet judicial nominees before voting to confer them to the federal bench. Moreover, given the records of those you have already heard about today, and the records of so many nominees like them, it is no surprise that the Republicans are committed to unilaterally changing the rules to minimize debate, minimize scrutiny, and minimize transparency surrounding the individuals they are confirming to the federal bench. Republicans know if their constituents knew who they were voting for and what policies they want those judges to achieve, those constituents would be outraged. Patrick Weyrich is just such a nominee. Weyrich, who is on the president's shortlist for the Supreme Court of the United States, is just 38 years old. He has just 2 years of judicial experience in Oklahoma. Moreover, he has ties to one of the most ethically compromised officials in the United States, former EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt. And he himself has a long record of anti-environmental advocacy. In fact, the nomination of Patrick Weyrich for a seat on the Federal District Court in Oklahoma fits right in with the Trump administration's established pattern of nominating ethically compromised individuals to powerful government positions. As an official in Oklahoma, Weyrich cozied up to oil and gas lobbyists and acted as their conduit to Oklahoma's attorney general at the time, the now disgraced former EPA head, Scott Pruitt. Weyrich became Pruitt's protege and his ally in battling clean air and clean water. During Pruitt's tenure as Oklahoma AG, Weyrich participated in a number of exchanges in which oil and gas industry executives exerted extraordinary influence over the AG's office, providing talking points and outlining positions the AG's office should take. As just one example is an exchange from a Devon Energy lobbyist sent to Weyrich a draft letter opposing a federal environmental regulation with the intention that Weyrich would communicate the contents to AG Pruitt. Pruitt changed total of 37 words out of the 116 words in the draft letter, added the seal of the state of Oklahoma, and sent it to the EPA. Weyrich also led multiple lawsuits against efforts to protect the environment. Given this record, it is clear that Weyrich, if confirmed, will do all he can to degrade protections for clean air and water, rather than giving them full, unbiased effect. We are also deeply concerned that Weyrich will bring his lack of principles and his favoritism towards big polluters to the federal bench. The American people were rightly outraged at the conduct of Pruitt as head of EPA. The public cares deeply about clean air and clean water. And Mitch McConnell knows that if there was a fulsome, extended debate on whether to confirm a 38-year-old protege of Scott Pruitt with deep ties and bias for those who pollute our air and water, the public would be disgusted. And that is why he wants to limit debate and transparency. But rest assured, all of us who care deeply about clean air and water will do all we can to ensure that Republicans cannot hide from the American people their support for Patrick Weyrich and his ilk. One final comment, as has been mentioned numerous times on this call, there are past examples that illustrate why minimizing the time allowed for consideration of nominees could have serious negative consequences. You've already heard about Thomas Farr. Another example is Brett Talley's nomination to a federal district court seat in Alabama. Only after his committee vote was it discovered that he failed to disclose more than 15,000 pieces of online commentary, including one believed to be attributable to him, which he defended the Ku Klux Klan. So Farr just demonstrates why this rule change is so dangerous.
Thank you, Dan. Denisha, let's open it up for questions. The operator will be providing instructions. One note for reporters, if your question is directed to a specific speaker, if you could just please note that in your question. Denisha?
And at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. You can remove yourself from queue at any time by pressing the pound key. Again, that is the star and one on your touch-tone phone to ask a question. And we can pause for a moment to allow questions to queue up. Again, that is the star and one on your touch-tone phone to ask a question.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us. Audio of this call will be sent later today, and if you have any follow-up questions, please contact us at press@civilrights.org. Once again, that's press@civilrights.org. Thank you all, and have a great day.